All right, we're starting at the bottom of Yudbet. I'm with Bet at the Mishnah. All right, the Mishnah begins. Harei Nazir, the Kishyeh Liben. So he says, I will be a Nazir when I have a son. Vinolad Lo Ben, and he has a son. Harei a Nazir. Then he is a Nazir, because the condition was fulfilled. Vinolad Lo Bat, Tumtum Vanjoginus. He has a daughter. A tumtum and androgynous, which are both not a of a particular gender, either because it's indiscernible or because they have both genders. Eino nazir, then he's not a nazir. Imamar kishyadli vlad, instead of using the word ben, son, he uses his child. Then afilu nola lo bat tumtum and androgynous are a nazir. And subsumed in that category are even these three types of children. Hipila ishto, if his wife miscarries in such a situation, right? Even if he said, even in the first case where it's nazir shali ben, hipila ishto eno nazir, then he is not a nazir. Because we say, saveg nizirut, lehakel, right? That when you have a doubt about whether someone accepts on it, whether there's really a neder nizirut here or not, we say lekula, because there's an uncertainty whether the miscarried fetus was a ben kayama, had the possibility of surviving or not. Shimon Omer Yomar, Shimon says no, I can't just let it go. Yomar im hayav ben kayama hare ani nazir. He says, if that was a viable child, then I am a Nazir. Chova. So here in Nazir Chova. I'm obligated based on my previous statement. Vim lav, if not, or in Nazir Nidava, then I am a voluntary Nazir. So he covers himself either way. According to Rabbi Shimon. Chodz Rabbi Yalda. Then his wife, after the miscarriage, has a child. Or is a Nazir. Then he is a Nazir because the original statement is still in force. The original statement of a condition that if I have a child, right, I will bring a, or I will be a Nazir, that was never discharged. That statement was never discharged when his wife miscarried. So when his wife miscarried, that was as if nothing happened. And now, in the new pregnancy, he has to discharge his obligation from the original condition. But for Rabbi Shimon said that the first pregnancy or the miscarriage was possibly a real nizirut. If that's the case, then the second birth is irrelevant. Right? Depending, if you feel like the miscarriage was a viable child and therefore it was a good nizirut, then the second has no bearing on the statement because the statement was already discharged.
Not on the original statement, but on his conditional statement.
No, but he already took care of that. In the conditional statement, he brought one nizirut. He took care of one nizirut, and either that was the chovah for the first one, or it was in the davar. He's done. All he has to do is bring one nizirut. That's done. Now his wife has a child. What does he do? According to Rabbi Yehuda, that is the nizirut that he was obligated originally in. According to Rabbi Shimon, Omer Yomar, Ima Rishon Ben Kayama, Rishon Chovah. If the first one was a viable child, then the first pregnancy generated a nizirut chovah, nizirut nidavah. And now this nizirut that I'm going to do now is a nidavah, is a voluntary nizirut. Bimlav, not harishon nidavah, the first one was a voluntary nizirut, vizu chovah. This is an obligatory nizirut, and you'll have to keep two sets of nizirut over here. Okay, now, haimai lememra. So what's the Kiddush in this Mishnah? This Mishnah really didn't, it says, what, if you say son, if you have a son, you're a Nazir. I mean, why is that a Kiddush? If you say child, then includes all types of children. Why are any of these, I mean, it seems almost unnecessary for the Mishnah to write such a thing. So Mishum Seifa, Bat, Tumtum Andrugnos, Eno Nazir. Because of the same, when he says a Ben, a son, if he has a Bat, Tumtum Andrugnos, then he's not a Nazir. Pshita, okay, it's obvious, he said Ben. Marutena, what does ben mean? Glishrike evne. Right, who did Kamar? Kamashwan's alone. The ben, right, I'm translating ben in English language, right, as son. But the word ben, right, could mean son, or Ben could generically be, right, the child of. And the Rishonim here bring the example of Ulai Ibanem Imena, right, that when he took a shifcha for a wife, he says, Ulai Ibanem Imena, maybe I will build from her. Meaning that building,
Wasn't it Rachel who said that?
Yeah.
Was it Rachel who said that?
I think. Yes. Yeah, you're right. Anochi memena, right? And I will also build from her. So the Rachel. That's rough by Rav. So there we see the term ben or binyan used as a child. So the word ben could either refer to son, or ben could refer to child. And so the Mishnah is, you know, Kamash Malon, is that when you use the term ben, you mean specifically son and not child. So next. If he uses the term Vlad, child, rather than son, we say it includes everything. Shita. Right? And that's obvious. Vlad demichashe bene inche. He wants to be only would count or include a child that is considered significant among people. And a child that's considered significant among people, the Rishonim here say a son. I could argue that it was a son or daughter, but not Itum Dumanandrigonos Kamash Malon, that Vlad includes any viable child, and not simply a Chashuv child. Now, he Pila Ishto, Eino Nazir. His wife miscarries, then he's not a Nazir, and there's no suffering about that. Man Ktaniva, who's the author of such a statement? It's Rabbi Yehuda the Krihu. Right, so this is Rabbi Yehuda, we bumped into him in the Mishnah. Right? It was Rabbi Yehuda who says, if a person says, I'm a Nazir, if there's 100 right, piles or something, 100 in this Krih here, but he shows up and it's stolen. And it's not there anymore.
Mea kur.
Thank you very much. Mea kur, betoka kriyazot. And then he shows up and it was stolen or lost. It's no longer there and he can't discern whether there was 100 or not. So the machlok is between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says a person is not making that smuggle suffering. A person doesn't accept the zeros when there's any uncertainty about the condition or the possibilities of his nazirut. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says that even in that case, the person accepts Nazirut. Even in the case where the suffix is Yoter Chamur Min Abadai, he still accepts on the Nazirut. So the Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah is, according to that Rabbi Yehuda degree, that says when you have a suffix here, his wife miscarried, so there's a doubt. That doubt automatically says no Nazirut. It's not even a suffix, there is no Nazirut. And that's he's the author of our Mishnah. Shimon Omer, Yomar, Imaya ben Kayama Rini Nazir Chova, Bimlav Rini Nazir Nova. Paimine Rabbi Abba Mirav Huna. Rabbi Abba asked Rav Huna. Harini Nazir, the Kishiyali Ben. I am a Nazir once I have a son. Vehi Pila Ishto, and then his wife miscarried. Vehi Frish Karban. And he had already taken out Karbanot Nazir. V'chazra v'yalda, and then she goes ahead and has a viable child. Ma'u, what's the status of these animals, of these karbanot that he took out? Alib Taman. So according to whose opinion? Yeah, Alib and Rabbi Shimon mighty boiling. What's the question according to Rabbi Shimon? Amar Rabbi Shimon savik nezirus b'chachmir. Now you have savik nezirut to go b'chachmir. So these animals clearly were nikudash because there is a nezirut here. Vela, Haliba Derbiuda, Dhamma Sarknazir Bahakel, right? What's the question? My Kadosh or Go Kadosh? Are they Kadosh or not Kadosh? Because according to Derbiuda, Subak Naziros is Bahakel. And therefore, there is no Nazirut here when she miscarries. So are the animals considered, is that a Kichetos? I mean, that is a mistake that he was Makadish the animals because there is no Nazirut here? Or maybe because in the future, the second, when she has a child later on, there will be a Nazirut. Maybe that should be enough to make them Kadosh from today. So, Kadosh or Lo Kadosh? Tumer says, my Nafkamina. What's the difference? In the end, he's going to bring the animals for the Karbanei Nazirut, for the second child. So what's the difference if it's Kadosh or not Kadosh? He's going to use them. So Tumer says, L'Kizato Ola Vodbo. Right? What's their interim... But one is, what's their interim status? Meaning that in the meantime, can you use these animals? Are these animals kadosh? And therefore they have to be left aside until she has the second child? Or, right, are these animals chulin? Because he has set them aside for this nizirut, and this nizirut does not exist. Now, when he has the second child, you can talk about him being mekadesh the animals again. All right? Or you can go ahead and be mekadesh the animals again. All right? And if you look in the Rashi, or Mefarish, three lines down in the wide lines, the wide lines at the bottom of the Mefarish, the lines down, it says, Nafkamiya lekizato ulabotko. So then Rashi, get the Mefarish. This is the question. He originally separated the animals, Shepila avale kadosh. That's when they became kadosh, avo. Avale also begizav avoto. Then you can't shear them or work with them. If you say that nizirut is only effective once they have the second pregnancy of the second child, avale mutar begizav avoto. Right? Then they will be mutar and avoto because they're not kadosh until the second child is born, and then makes them kadosh.
It's like the second child is not a separate pregnancy, but twins.
Right. Oh, thank you. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah. Well, thank you. That's cool.
Right. Okay, that is, which was very surprising to me, is the position of Tosfos over here. So I read the Gemara simply, which seems to be the simple shot in the way the Mefarsh reads. Joel brings up that Tosfos here and the Rosh mentioned this thing about twins, that there are twins here, which is incredible. I wanted to, the Tosfos is interesting. I wanted to look at the Tosfos anyway, because right there are two types of twins, right? Two possibilities of twins, right? You have identical twins, right? And fraternal twins, where you have twins, the possibility that twins are identical. The way that twins are identical is if the infertilized, right? Egg, or if I go splits, then you get identical twins. Right? If you have actually two separate fertilized, if two separate eggs were fertilized, right, then you'll get twins, but they will not obviously be identical. So this Tosfos is incredible, because the Tosfos seems to be talking about such a situation or such a difference in the twins. So listen to this. It's in Behipile Ishdo Behifrish Karban. Perish l'niziruto v'yalda. Perush mi'oto hirayon atzmo. This is what Joel pointed out. It's from the same pregnancy. So she miscarries one of the children in the pregnancy, but the other child comes out. Vlad kayama, a viable child. Dehashi yesh hochacha gidola. There's good proof. Midahai bar kayama, hanefil habalaknami bar kayama. The fact that the other child, the twin, is a viable child, it suggests that the other child that was lost was also a viable child. The kalul chadashav, and it was cooked, finished. I mean, it was done. The pregnancy was done. It was term. It came to term. The tipa he nechleket l'shtayim. Right, because this case is a case where it splits into two. So I don't know if he's talking about it. If he's talking about tipa zera, then there's not really anything to talk about. But if he's suggesting that this is a case where the egg split, then you have identical twins, and the fact that one twin survives suggests that the other twin would have been or should have been a viable child, and that the miscarriage is that it died, not because it was not a viable fetus. Hilka chalak mushala karban kishapish. Then automatically it'll be mufrash, meaning that the animal will be kadosh from the beginning, because that is a good proof that the original miscarriage was a bar kayama.
How was he not first visiting the animals? What was his?
He sets them aside. He says, "This is for my disease."
Right. So if he doesn't become an Ezra, then that's why.
Right. That's why there's a question at hand here. Okay. Now, what's the other side? What's the other side? Odilma, if you go down to the widest lines here, the wide lines in Tosfos, says Odilma. Or maybe even when there's a chacha, according to Rabbi Yehuda, people don't put themselves into a safek. Why? Dishema mitzas hatipa niklata miyad, u mitzas hatipa shnia lo nikla adachar shne yamim obiyom gimel. Oh, no, film. All right, so now, this case, Tosa says, well, maybe the reason that there are twins here is because, I don't know, he seems to say this, that the semen splits, right? But I think this is the case of, right, the fraternal twins where he fertilizes two separate eggs. And that's what Tosa is almost talking about here. There's one egg that's fertilized now, and there's another egg that's fertilized at a either later time or right in a separate situation. So in that case, there's no evidence from the miscarriage about the other child. Because you have totally two separate children that are not necessarily, well, here he's saying they're not equivalent in time because the fertilization took place at two different times. But I think even saying twins here, that they're not viable because they're not identical. If they're not identical, well, that what is true of one is not necessarily true of the other. And therefore, there's a suffix, right, whether that first child was a viable child or not, meaning that there's no proof that the first child was really a strong child. This is amazing. So, I mean, again, we read the Gemara simply, that it was just two pregnancies, and that's the question. But here, Tosus is saying that there's a bigger question here. What we say is that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that generally a suffix nizirus is lakula, so why is there anything to talk about here? I mean, there was no nizirus. There's nothing to talk about. Why should the animals be kadosh? So Tosas is saying there is something to talk about because this is according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says suffix nizirus lahaka, but maybe in certain instances he will agree to Rabbi Shimon, where there is what's called a hochacha gidola. There's overwhelming evidence that the first child was a viable child. And where do you have that? Tosas says when you have twins. So in that case, maybe Rabbi Yehuda agrees to Rabbi Shimon because of this overwhelming evidence. Therefore, the animal will be kadosh. Or maybe Rabbi Yehuda says, no, even in this case, there's still a suffake. And what's the suffake? The twins are not always evidence, right? One for the other, because they're not necessarily identical twins. And when they're not identical twins, there's no proof that since one survived, that the other should have survived or could have survived. Right, so that brings up, thank you, Shaul. That brings up this Tosa, which is just an interesting Tosa, again, from the idea of how we today know that there are right, two different types of twins, or how they're, it seems to be, Tosa's not exactly, because he uses the word tipa in both cases, but it seems to be interesting that he has this idea of splitting versus two separate, you know, fertilizations. Right. Alright, let's continue in the Gemara. So my after this is where take who might leaves it as a unsolved right issue. By minay ben Ruchami mi Abaye, so the son of Ruchami asked of Abaye, this is a nice interesting Amora. Family haven't seen him before. Ben Ruchami Arani Nazir, Likishi Eli Ben. Right, Mishama Kaveiro, it's an interesting case, right? He says, the person says, I will bring a korban, I'll be a nazir when I have a child, a son, let's call it a son, Mishama Kaveiro. Then his friend, here's Ramar Valai, me too. So Mao, what does the me too mean? Right, what are the two possibilities?
You have a son of that.
Very good, right. So is he saying, I want to do the same thing you're doing? Meaning that when you have a son, we'll both be Nazir. Or is he saying, me too, meaning that I want to create the same situation where if I have a son, right, I will also be a Nazir. And Tosfos this points out on the mission over here, why does a person take a Nazirut when he has a son? He says, Perish Hodav, Shevach, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Shechanani, Zikani, Nelukudi Ben. It's like, this is a way of giving Shevach praise to Hashem for giving me, or even the supposed of having a child or a son. And that's why this person is saying that he's taking the nizirut, right, as a condition for, in a condition of his child. So here, how do we look at this? Which Sheva Fahoda is he, you know, joining? Is he saying, me too, I want to also have the opportunity to give Sheva to Hashem for my child? Or is he saying that, you know what, you and I, we're buddies, and hey, we're very close, and therefore, I want to take a net of zero to thank Hashem for you having a child. So Mao, adibure mashma o agufe mashma. Is it when he says, right, that I want to be like you, right, does it mean adibure, meaning that does it mean
that works more literally?
All right, that's good.
Welcome.
Come to the competition. Right, so is adibure in, right, like what he said literally, and I'm going to be, as Gedalia pointed out so well, or does it mean gufe, mean, that means on myself, literally means on myself here, but Gedalia wanted to interpret gufe as figure, and then figuratively, so, very good, or is it figuratively, meaning that it's agufe, meaning that it's on himself, although it's the opposite actually of what it Oh, no, but it's all right. I figured it literally means, yeah, it's the same here. He's not taking literally what the guy says, but he's taking it figuratively means that he's applying it to himself. He's saying ani means only on partial. He's not taking the full nether on. All right. Mashma. Now, imtim salomar agufe mashma. If you say he's speaking about himself, right, that he's talking about himself. Amar harini nazir lik sheli ben. The person says, I'll be a nazir when I have a ben. B'shem ha-chamir v'amar v'ani. He says, v'ani. Mao anaf sheke amar, is he talking about himself? O dilmach my rechmin alai kavati. You and I are buddies, right? And therefore, I want to make this for you. So now, this gemara is not, it's very hard to read. The word vani and alai, according to Rishonim here, doesn't make a difference. I would have thought that Rishonim here would distinguish between using the term alai and vani, right? Which they don't do, necessarily. They say the alai and vani are the same. Right? And the Gemara is just querying in different directions based on the name of Eli, and there's no difference. So the Gemara is saying, first of all, you know, even if you say that it means literally agufei mashma, it means for himself, right? Do we say that it really, when he says ani, it means for himself, or does it mean for the other guy? Why for the other guy? Because imtim salomar kol be'antei, whenever you're in front of him, sifalach lamilsa, you'd be embarrassed to not do it for your friend, meaning that If your friend is here now, right, then, and you say Bani or Alai, then it must be referencing his child. Why? Because otherwise, why are you taking a net and a zirut in front of your friend? Right? What's the purpose of saying Bani Valai, right, unless you're trying to join him in the same act of thanking Hashem for his child? If you want to take your net and a zirut, wait, go home and make your own net and a zirut. The fact that you're doing it in front of him seems to indicate that you're trying to do something with him, right, or be a party with him, and because of that, you would be embarrassed not to be doing it with him.
What you're saying, yeah, that's a great idea. You know, I'm gonna take the same thing I have a son.
Right. But we have to explain why the Gemara goes in the direction of saying, which I think, agree, the original subject is that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that is it that I'm trying to do this, I'm trying to, you know, great idea, I want to do it for myself also, or do we say...
Right, well, but I mean, just question it in terms of language, but ally on me,
which is the final term.
Right.
Well, it's not clear what he said, right?
It's not clear, but you could... I think the inference law is that you can understand that even if you say that Alai means the same type of that, or not your child, but in the same way or me, but Ani and me sounds more like, you know, I second that version.
You're differentiating between Ani and Alai, right, which is the way I would have read the Gemara originally, but I don't see that in the Rishonim. I don't see the Rishonim differentiating. If you look in the, let me just see if I can find it here, they seem to say that it makes no difference which lesson you're using. Like, even if you see in the Girsos, look on the side, if you look on the Girsos, even the first Girsa, there's a Girsa that says Bani instead of Alai. Right? First of all, it says that it's both of them are Bani. And then in Tosfos, it says over here,
The verse seems to say,
differentiates between them, good. Alright, well, let's do the Tosos, then we'll go to the Rush. So thank you, because I was looking for that. It did slow after Gufei Mashma and Tosos. It did slow after Gufei Mashma and Tosos. Obar Mualai, Hecha Demar Bani Mahu. Right, so there he does. He says that if he said Bani, what's it? Anashi Kamar. Kumar Filu Bishamar Bani, Gufei Mishma, Duma Rechim Nalach Vadech Shea Ben Kayama. And then, what does he say? He says that there's no. Maybe it's the Mepharish that says that. Maybe I confused myself. Here, b'shama chaveru v'amar v'alai, yichad demar v'ani v'alai, midumei mishtumar klomar gam ani no der v'nazir sheli ben. So over there in that Tosos, b'shama chaveru v'amar v'alai, yichad demar v'ani v'alai, right, he joins them together. He puts both v'ani v'alai into one category. Although now I'm seeing that he separates again from them later on, where he puts them to separate, and that's definitely, So that's what Rosh probably says also, right? And the Imtim Salomar is, if he said a lie, then Bani, what is Ani? Right, does Ani have more Tokev? All right. Where's Bani? Let me look at this. Rosh, not Bani, Gufin, Rosh. Here's the rest. Klomer, a deeper way, Masha Klomer, but lying, I'm Leot Nazir, Shaylof Haben, Gemini Mekabelai Niziru, Shaylof Ben. So he learns the opposite of the Mepharish. The Diburay, this is like what Gedalia, more like what Gedalia was saying, that Diburay means what he was saying, Vim Tom Slomer, do a lie, but Dayab, and Gufay, Mashma by himself, Mashma Al Gufi, not dark, Moshe Wad Alai, Bani, Ma mahu dvani ikalafush ani domeh bin ederze. All right. So he says it, sees it as a sequential question, as a different question. All right. Very good. So v'alai. Right. So each way, and then they're it's unclear what they say. The way the Mepharish learns gufei, he says that diburei is written like the other one, and gufei means he himself. Right, okay, they agree that in both the same way. Then a lie, so the Gemara concludes Gufei Mashma, which means that it's his own child, Balai. And then the Gemara asks him, Ani, what is Bani? Does Ani, like you suggested, you are Ishal, and without your suggestion of Ani means maybe that's more a possibility that he's saying, I want to do it that. It's the other way around, actually. He's saying,
Ani means me too.
Right, me too. But me too means in which way? Me too, then you are.
When you have a child, I'll
give it. Or if it's. But you think it means more so.
And he says, I will do a similar type of thing. He says, well, I sound like I'll take upon yours with me. But it doesn't really matter.
So the Gemara has the opposite, but the Gemara is starting the other way around. The Gemara says that Balai is definitely Gufei, and then it has a query about Bani, which is the opposite. But you were suggesting that Ani is more obvious.
Yeah.
I mean, that the other way. All right. I don't know which
they are mutually exclusive, though. So one, no matter how you slice it, one doesn't mean the other.
But Alai and Ani.
No,
right. You can't have both. Although maybe, right? Bani, me too, right? Me too, meaning that I'll do one for your kid and one for my kid. But you are right. So that you can't. Right? It has to be one or the other. It can't be that he's both. All right. So the Gemara asks a question. Then the question is: Intum slo kol banpei tifali milso. If whatever's in front of me is embarrassing, therefore I definitely mean a lie might mean. But in this way, the way Gemara is concluding, a lie would mean kufei mashma, which means that I'm doing it for myself, for my own son. But bani. Is what? It means that Vani, I'm too embarrassed to say that, although I don't know why that shouldn't apply to a lie as all, also. I mean, that this seems to have to go back and say on all of them, right? That's embarrassing. So why isn't that embarrassing when he says about lie? Okay. Right, because then. Alright, I don't know why the Gemara doesn't think that. I think that Rani is more embarrassing, and therefore he's going to say it about his friend versus a lie, which is, Gemara assumes it's coupe, that he's talking about himself. Alright. Either way, Arayi Nazilik Shiela Poloni Ben. Right, this person, if you have a third party, if Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, right, and Reuven says, I will bring a Nazir when Levi has a child. Shema Chavero Bar Marani. Now he says, me too. Mo, me are reading to love a fun of an Afshay Kamar when it's not in front of him, he's talking about himself, and doesn't matter. Odilmaf Kamar Levi, Quindalak Kabatev. I like, just like you, like Levi so much, I also like Levi so much, and I'm going to bring a Naziros when Levi has a child. And over here, you don't have the Sifim Le Milso. And the way it ends up, it ends with a Nadarim like answer, Tibai, right, which is the equivalent of Teku. We don't have an answer. We don't have a conclusion to this. Right? So the Gemara ends up that a lie, for some reason, the Gemara is obvious to him that a lie means Gufei, means that you're talking about yourself. Right? Whereas Vani, the Gemara has, if it's in front of the other party and it's talking about itself, then you're too embarrassed. It means Vani means I'm doing it for your child. But if it's not in front of him, or it's right, talking about a third party, then Vani, we have a question about whether Ani means you or means your friend. That's the conclusion of the Gemara. All right, next Mishnah. What we're going to do here, it's a little complex, but we're going to read this Mishnah. They're actually going to skip to Daf Tedvav and finish the Mishnah. Because over here, the Tosfot mentions it in the Mefarsh Mishnah a little bit, although the Mefarsh is down there, but Tosfot here interprets the whole Mishnah, and we're going to see that the Mishnah is really a continuation, and it makes sense to read the Mishnah altogether so we can understand the whole Mishnah. All right, I'm going to read the Mishnah in a simple way, and then we'll go back and deal with all the issues in the Mishnah, okay? Hareini Nazir, v'Nazir Psheli Ben. So he took two Nazirut, right? Two Nidre Naziriyot. One is that he's a Nazir, period, no condition. A second Nazirut that was conditioned on him having a child. Itko Moneh Shalot, then he starts counting his Nazirut, and he starts to have his Nazirut. Rav had a Nolod Ben, and then he has a child, which triggers the second Nazirut. Shmashta Mitchelow, he finishes the first Nazirut that he started, that was obligated right away, but Akar Kach Moneh Shalot Beno. And then he takes care of his child's Nazirut. Already Nazir Kishayli Ben, then, or what's that? If he says it the other way around, he changes the way he says it. I am a Nazir when I have a child, the Nazir, and then he makes an unconditioned Nether Nazirut. Hitko Moneh Shalot, he starts counting his the Akar Nolod Ben. And then he has a child. So the child triggers the first Nether Nazirut. That gets Meniach Shalot, he puts his aside, Umoneh Shalot Beno, and then counts his child. And then he finishes his own. Because the fact that he put it first in his statement, he made the first part of his statement was that when I have a child, we'll be Nazir, so that takes precedence as a Nazirut, and therefore he has to suspend his Nazirut, right, and then complete his son's, the one for his son, and then he'll continue his afterwards.
What's it,
okay, very good. So that's let's finish up on Tedvav, and let's get exactly. Guy's asking the question: what's going on? How do you do this? Right? And that's going to become a subject of debate, and we'll see why. All right. Now the last Mishnah, the Mishnah on Tedvav. Hareini Nazir Kshili Ben, the Nazir Me'ayom says, I will be a Nazir when I have a child. Plus, I'm a 100-day Nazir. Nolad lo ben ad shivim, if he has the child before 70 days are up of the 100-day Nazirut, lo hifsid klum, he didn't lose that at all. La'akar shivim, if it's after 70 days, soter shivim, or either soter, the Tosfos is a use of soter, or soter shivim, she'en tibakas pachot mishloshim yom, because there's no such thing as cutting hair less than 30 days. So this last line in the Mishnah actually gives you a hint or an evidence about what's going on here. So we have the possibility of...
So wait, can you just explain what... So the Soser Shivim means that
he lost,
stops the first Nazirus right there, dead in its tracks?
Right.
Is that what it means?
Okay, good question. That is my focus we've shown him about what Soter means here. The Soter Shivim mean the first Nazirut is gone entirely, and you need to recount the full 100, Soter to Shivim. The first 70 that you counted were meaningless, and you need to recount the whole thing. Or does Soter to Shivim mean that you stop, and now even though you've done more than 70, you must now do a full 30. So you actually end up with more than 100 days, because you need a minimum of 30.
And then you don't have to go back
to
maximum
the full 70, right. The Maya, no, the Maya, you're maximum the Maya by doing 30 afterwards. You do a 30 for your child, and then 30 afterwards to finish the 100. Now what happens if you are day 80? So you only had 20 days left to Nazirut. So now you end up having a 110-day Nazirut by adding on the 30 days at the end. That's the two possibilities of how to read the Mishnah. Right, so Soterah Teshivim can either mean, Soterah Teshivim, according to those that say that the Gersa is Soterah Shivim, means that you lost the first 70. The other possibility in Tosfos Gersa is Soterah, not Shivim, but Soterah, that you just undermine it. By undermining it, what does that mean, you undermine it? It means that there are days beyond the 70 that get knocked out, because whatever was past 70 you have to redo after you do the Zeroes for your son. Okay, those are the two possibilities of one.
So the redoing has to be at least 30.
Right. Okay, now, the question is, what is going on here? Because how do you have an interruption in the middle of a Nizirut? How do you count the second Nizirut in the middle of another Nizirut? We never heard of such a thing. So now, just as background to the mission, that's why I read the other mission, that you can't have a Nizirut less than 30 days. What does it mean? You can't have a Nizirut less than 30 days. It's not what we say, stop Nizirut to 30 days, but there's also a secondary problem, which is that in order to consider your hair long enough to cut your hair, you need it to be 30 days long. Although it's funny, because we had the Mefarsh early on that said that 7 days, right? The clock is too much. Him laid the Rabbonah. But I know that after 7 days of Tumah, the first had a strange explanation there. That when he became Tameh, on Yom, after the day, after Yom Malot, right, he said there, the Mishnah sounds, or the way it tells us the Rosh Lord, was that after saying he does his Karbanot Tumah, and then he brings his Karbanot Nazir.
You can make it because one is Tiglath, one is Perah. That means, in order to really have what's considered a Perah, whatever it is for Nazir, you need 3 days.
Very good. Tiglath. All right, good. All right, I didn't think of that, but maybe that is a differentiation. As the Mefarish over there suggested that you have to wait another 7 days to wait for your hair to grow back. You have 7 days of Tumah, then 7 days to have your hair grow back, and then you do a shaving. So maybe I guess you suggest that means that over there all you're looking for is Tiglachat, whereas over here you're looking for Perah. Although, it's a possibility, although I think the Rishonim over here are looking for Tiglachat. Over here they're looking for, how do you know, when can you have a shaving is when you've grown a Perah. It's only relevant to shave your head or cut your hair when you've had a Perah. Otherwise, cutting your hair is not meaningful in the context of Nazirut. Right, so now, after 30 days, right, you can have a Perah. So now, that's one issue. The second issue is that you need, how do you interrupt or how do you deal with interrupting the middle of a Nazirut? So now, if you have less than 30 days, it must be clear, and this is what the Rishonim say, it must be clear, if you have less than 30 days, that there's no Karbanot Nazir in between. Because if there are Karbanot Nazir, you have to shave your head. Once you shave your head, you can't have less than 30 afterwards. So now going back to the first case in our Mishnah where such a interruption happens. A person says, I have a Neder Nazirut, right? I have a Neder Nazirut if I have a child. And plus, I have a Neder Nazirut of 30 days. He starts counting the Nazirut of 30 days. Say he's on day 15, make it easy. He's on day 15 and then he has a child, he has a son. So the Mishnah says, interrupt your Nazirut and do the 30-day Nazirut for your son. Then afterwards, finish up your Nazirut. You're finishing up your Nazirut, at the back end, there's only 15 days. So there's no way, after the 30 days of your son's Nazirut, that you can suggest that he did a Tiglachat and brought his Karbanot, because then you only have 15 days left. 15 days left is not sufficient to create a Nazirut. So the Rishonim, both the Farsi and Tosfos agree that in that instance, you don't bring Karbanot. After 60 days. After 60 days, you're going to bring two sets of Karbanot Nazirut, because you completed both Nazirut afterwards. So here, you say, if you look, it's actually the Tosfos is over here, on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. All the Tosfos here on all this page is all about the Mishnah. I think it's up that the Mishnah is difficult here. So Tosfos on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, he writes it, the Mefarsh also writes the same thing, that it says, five lines from the bottom of the Tosfos on the right side, all the way to the right side, it says Kavan, right? Kavan de Kibel Alav Chila Nizirut Shalbano, who Zakuk Limnotan Miyad Kishi Balet. Right, so that's what this Mishnah says. Because he accepted the Nizirut for his son first, therefore as soon as his son is born, he must discharge that obligation. He must deal with the 30 days for his son. And after he takes care of the Nizirut for his son, he then completes the original Nizirut. At the end of those 60 days, right, it's a diagram of 60 days, he'll shave for both Karbanot. He can't cut his hair right after he finished Nazirut for his son, Dim Kane. How will he finish his Nazirut, Nimsa? Right, you can't, Gidul Seyar, to have a Tiglachat is only relevant after 30 days. And all he has left, in our example, was 15 days. So everybody's learning this case in our Mishnah as meaning that he did not, when he interrupts Nizirut, it means simply that he counts the 30 days, but not that he shaves and brings his Karbanot. He just interrupts, counts 30 days, and then does 15 days later. So in the end, he basically is a Nazir for 60 days, right? He'll be a Nazir for 60 days. So in the end, what's the Nafkamina that he interrupted? He's just doing two sets of Nazirut. So the Nafkamina is when he brings the Karbanot. Right? Had we said he finishes his Nazirut, then we'd say, bring your Karbanot. Right? And then we would say, start the 30 for your son. But that, the Mishnah says, no. stay, you have to do a full 60, basically you end up with a full 60 days without any haircut and without drinking wine. Right? So you have to, it's not a 30 and a 30, it becomes a full 60. And the other Nafkamina, I think, I'm just thinking of it now, would be...
In both cases you have 60 days of the zeros they are observing, but in one case you have only one haircut, in the other case you have two
haircuts. Right. And the other possibility I'm just thinking now is for Tuma. Right? If it becomes Tamei, right on day 45, right, is he soaked there? How many Nidrei Nezirut is he soaked there, right? I mean, if we said he completed his, and then he was doing the one for his son, there's only soaked there one set of Nezirut. If he gets come in the middle, and he's now not completed both sets of Nezirut, maybe he's soaked there both of them, because he still hasn't completed a single Nezirut yet. So I'm just thinking, I'm trying to, maybe that's enough for me also.
Right, and then in that case, he would do the 30 days for his son.
And then have to do a full 30
days for
himself. Yeah, I mean, it's lost both of them. Right, so that'd be enough. All right, so that's the easy part. Here the Rishonim seem to agree about this aspect of it. All right, although the Mefarish does bring down a second interpretation. If you look in the Mefarish, right across from where it says a Gemara, you see in the Gemara itself, on your Gemara Medved, it says Gemara. If you go across from that, there's two dots. There's two dots in the Mefarish. Two dots in the Mefarish, right across where it says Gemara. Right?
Cool.
And then I'll call it. Thank you. Thank you. Three lines up from that, it says Miniach et Shelo. It says Miniach et Shelo, Umone et Shelbino. Ve'inu Megaleach. He doesn't say it is here. Vachar Kach Mashlim et Shelo. Then he finishes his. The Makom Shepasuk Matfil. Wherever he stops, he finishes. Sounds exactly like what we just read in the Tosafot. Alright, so that's how he explains it. Now, there's an alternative here. And we'll see that this alternative in the Mefarish, and later on shows up in Tosfos in the second case in the mission. And he brings down an alternative. But Ilu B'Seifa, right, Ilu B'Seifa, if you skip down a couple lines here, he says, Ma, Tov, B'Kiva, Lav, Nizirut, Shalot, Chila, Mashlim, Shalot, Shem, Megalech, Ben, Time. Ilu B'Seifa, Tkabil, Nizirut, Shalot, Benot, Chila, Muki, Laha, Morek, Kigon, Nizirut, Shalot, Hava, Shal, Chamishim. All of a sudden it changes that our Mishnah, all of a sudden there's a 50-day Nezirut. His was a 50-day Nezirut. Shalot by Mugi La'aki Hai. The Tema Hochi, Lo'avi Nezirut Klau, came into Ipsik and Shalot, Itzkal et Shalbino, Vigilech. Tulo Pasha Luki Dei Gidil Seirah. Well, wait a minute, you don't have enough Gidil Seirah left. So he creates a case where it's a 50-day Nezirut, and there's 30 days left over afterwards. Right, so this Morat over here creates a... Right? He creates a situation where there are 30 days left over. And then he says, the Kaimalan Bubba the Seifa, Bubba the Seifa meaning the mission we saw in Ted Bab, the Soter at Hakol, and in Sham Kedei Gidul Seyar. Right? That when you don't have Gidul Seyar, then it's all gone. So there, he has to create, he makes an Okimta here. The Morag creates two cases in order to reconcile the last case in the Mishnah. And this case in the Mishnah, what does he do? And this is where the Mefarish's interpretation differs from Tosfos. So the Mefarish says in that last case with Sunset Bob, if you have 70 days and you stop and do your son's Nezirut, you have 30 days left afterwards, no problem. Because you'll have a Tiglachat after, right? You'll have a Tiglachat after your son is complete, and then you have 30 days left afterwards. And the way the Moreh is learning for the Mefarish brings down this Moreh, even in our case here, the case where he interrupts for his son, it's not a case of 30 and 30 days, it's a case of 50 and 30. Why does he do that? Because he believes after the son, you must have a Tiglachat. In order to separate the Nezirut, you have to have a Tiglachat. So he has, no matter what, after the son's finished, you have a Tiglachat. How much time is left over will determine whether you need to start again, or can you continue. And that's the difference. We have a case here where it's 50 days, right, and therefore there's 30 days enough left over. You only did 20, up to 20 days. There'll be 30 days left over. You shave for your son, and there'll be 30 days left over, and that's why it's okay. And then in Ted Bav, right, then it says what? There's 100 days. If he gets up to day 70, right, then up to day 70 is fine, because there'll be 30 days left afterwards. After he cuts his hair for his son, there'll be a full 30 days left afterwards, and he can do it. But he's past 70 already. He only has less than 30 days left. He has less than 30 days left. He doesn't have a full Nezirut left afterwards. He cuts his hair for his son. He loses the first 70 days, or the first Nezirut totally. He's got to recount again for the full Nezirut. So now you're going to ask me, why did the Mishnah then bring down two cases? One case is 50 days, one day with 100, and they're saying the same thing. That if there's 30 days left afterwards, it works. It doesn't work. It says, V'im Tomar. Oh, wait, no. V'im Tomar. He says, "Im tamar batash shmona shobno lo yidiv galayach." Right, so maybe you'll say like the Mefarish himself said or above, or like Tosla says, that after the sun is finished, you won't shave at all. That's impossible. First of all, he accepted on himself a full Nadaziris. When you accept two Nidre Naziris, you gotta shave, you gotta bring Karbanos. There's such a thing as postponing the Karbanos. You wanna count it, how do you define when the Naziris ends? Cutting your hair, bringing Karbanos. You can't have this thing, oh yeah, after 30 days it's done, but we're not bringing Karbanos, and we'll finish the other one up. I mean, how do you define then which belongs to which Neder Nazirut? Vote. What's the nafkamina, which is what we were discussing? What's the nafkamina if he counts 60 days? He's going to do 60 days. Unless he brings karbanot. Right, so he says, you're talking about 50 days over here. What do you need the Mishnah Ted Bav to deal with 100 days? That ayin lo hifsid klum. So it's coming to teach us that even in the 70-day case, that up till 70 he doesn't lose anything, but after 70, right, then he loses out. Now, according to the Mefarish, what's going to end up coming up. But not according to the Mefarish. According to the Mefarish, it's learned like Tosfos. But according to the Mefarish, according to this Moreh, right, you're going to actually have it be that you have to shave in between the Nazirus, the Nidre Nazirut. And when you're Soter, right, when you're Soter Nazirut, right, that depends on how much you have left over. Whether you can complete your Nazirut is only in a case where you have 30 days left over afterwards. So when you have 30 days left over afterwards, then it'll be okay, and you can complete your Nazirut and bring Karbanot. But if you don't have 30 days left over, then you are Soter. Right? It ruins the Nidre Nazirut. Again, the difference between the 50, and why the Mishnah brought 50 and not then a 100, is because... Where does this go? Here it goes here, he says... Right. So then, the difference here between the Meya and the 50, which is what he has to explain, right? Until 70 days, you don't lose anything. That's what it's coming to teach us. But after 70, you lose out. Right? It's not that you just make up the 30, but that you actually lose out on the full 70.
Why? Right?
I mean, that after 70 days, you could have thought, like we suggested. I don't know if he's suggesting, I don't know which way it's very unclear to me what he's saying here, but I think what he's saying is that after 70 days, you don't just say I do 30 days, and then that makes up for it, but it says that I lose the first 70, which is that's the chiddush of the second half of this.
Yeah, but why? What's the
nafkamina?
Why should it be in that case and not in the...
No, in the case of 50, you also don't lose it, but the 50 case doesn't explain the case where it's more than 20 days. In our case here, and our Mishnah on our side here only explains a case where you have 30 days left over. Then the Mishnah went on to talk about a 100-day case to show you that there's another case where even with the 100 days, you're going to have a problem. And once you get past 70, there's not a 30-day window left.
So according to the Moreh, it doesn't matter. If you have to interrupt the count and...
No, if you have 30 left... Yeah, but if you have 30 left, then you're good.
Why?
Because that's a Nazirus, that's a full Gidlul Seah.
But you took upon yourself a Nazirus of 100 days.
Right, but you had to do the first 70 days count or not. And that'll depend on whether...
I'm saying, but why, what would he base on? Why would you, when we ever have a concept that if you take on yourself a Nazirus of 100 days, you can fulfill it as 30 haircut, right. And then another, a 70 haircut, then another 30.
30, right.
Where was it?
That was not sort of a given.
Right. The Mishnah assumes that you can't do such a thing, that as long as you have
that the days work out.
Right. Unless it was the way we told it before, that you don't do the day, you just wait for the Karbanos. And then that makes sense. Because then there's nothing interrupting. There's no reason not to count the other days. You haven't done anything to negate them.
Okay, so if you look in the Mefarish on Ted Bov, Mefarish differentiates, he doesn't explain why, and this is what you're asking, why? But the Mefarish, he says here, if you look at the Ted Bavim and Aleph, Ted Bavim and Aleph in the Mefarish, if you look, it's, if you see where it says Gemara in the Mefarish and Ted Bavim and Aleph, if you count up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines from there, it says Vahani Milin. Can I emphasize Vahani Milin? So he's going to differentiate. This is according to the Mefarish himself, not according to the Gemara. Vahani Milin means Zeros from Merubo. This is only when you have a big Nezeros. The time of my kidamran shinki clock has been time. So he differentiates. The Mefarish actually has an interpretation here where if you have 230-day nizirut, then you will not be megaleach in between. That's what we, the way we explained our mission now. You will not be megaleach in between because by definition, you can't be Megaleach in between, because if you're Megaleach, there will never be 30 days left over afterwards. And there's no possibility of there being 30 days left over. So in that case, when you interrupt, you're not Megaleach in the middle. That's called Nizirut Mu'etet. By Nizirut Merubah, where there is a possibility of leaving 30 days afterwards, he says you are Megaleach. If you interrupt with another Nizirut, you are Megaleach in the middle. And then it will depend on whether there's 30 days left afterwards or not, whether it's Soter or not Soter. So Shaul asked the question, why should it matter? Where do you ever find such a thing? That when you have 30 days afterwards, right, it would, that makes it that the first 70 days were okay. Or, why should it be different between Nazir Mu'atet and Nazirut Merubah? Right, that why in one case you not shave and in one case you do shave? I mean, why do we allow such an interruption, one or not? And the answer is because you have sufficient days afterwards to deal with it, but why should it matter?
Even what, why not say that you give this haircut? And then he starts to wait at least 30, so it'll come up, it'll come more than 100, but at least he saved the first
life. Right, so Tosus says something like what you're saying, and Tosus also has a problem with this issue. So Tosus comes up with a totally different interpretation for the Mishnah over here. And he says, the question of the Mishnah is, can you double count? Can you count the days both towards your Nizirut and the Nizirut of this tribe? I mean, can you, when you do 30 days in the middle of your 70-day Nizirut, does that 30 days only count towards your son, or does it also count towards the 100-day Nizirut that you're already starting? So that would be more...
That's what it seems to say in the Tosus over here.
Right, so here we go. This is the Tosus on, again, Gimel and Bet. Sorry to make you... I'm jumping back and forth only because the mission is found over there, but Tosus is interpreting it over here. So you go to Tosus, Lachar Shivim Yom. Right, which is for the Mishnah on Ted Bav, obviously. Lachar Shivim Haino Ayin Aleph Soter. The Logar Sinan Soter Shivim Yom. This is what I told you, that the Soter Shivim, so you were asking, the Soter Shivim is only according to the Mefarish, but Soter Shivim, according to Tosfos, the only word there is Soter. So what does it mean Soter? The Daha Eino Soter Ayin. He doesn't get rid of the first 70 counted. Hache Pirush, Hache Pirusho. Right, you know what, I should have read you part of the Tosfos before this. Alright, okay, here. It's in the previous Tosfos, next to the Rosh, but I don't know if you guys have the Rush in the same place. It says Afilu Hachi. Alright, you know what, across from Mais Nisan, across from where the word Mishnah in the Gemara, it says Afilu Hachi in Tosfos. Okay, Afilu Hachi, Kevin Shel Beno Muvlaim, B'tocha Me'a Yom, Olim L'Shel Beno, Ula Shelo. They count both towards his end. So the Tosfos is consistent here. That you'll finish, that if there are 30 days remaining, at least 30 days remaining in the 100 days, then what do? You finish up both Nedre and Nizirut with that final 30 days. The days will count both towards your Nedre and Nizirut and towards your son's, and then you bring two Karbanot. Because you only need one Teglachat, because they're both finishing at the same time. Alright, that's it. But here, now, the problem is in the other case where he doesn't have 30 days left. Where he doesn't have 30 days left, then when he counts the 30 days for his son, right, then he can't stop for his 100. He's going to be beyond the 100 days that he needs for himself. So that's it. So now he says, I'll read the Tosfos again, sorry. Velogar sinan soter shivim yom, dahayin soter ayin. Bakarizim, neach et shalo, umone et shel beno. He leaves his nizirut and counts his sons. It's not that he's soter. It's not enough days left in his nizirut to also work for his son's nizirut. It's to stop counting, right? So today, have you learned the memory? Shein zirut pachot mishloshim. Not that there's less than the gacha, but there's no zirut less than 30 days. But not kach shein tiglachas the meimah kashi yashlim shobno yakzir the minyano v'yashlim zirut akuf yom v'yigaleach asof kol aminyan echad the kulam. So Tosis is consistent throughout that there's no cutting your hair in the middle of the nizirut. Like Shoal's problem. How could you have it that you cut your hair in the middle and all of a sudden you count, you start the new count and that belongs to the original count?
Tososa just means interrupt.
Interrupt. Right. So Tosos over here reads the interpretation differently. So because he doesn't say Soter Shivim, but in the parchment Soter Shivim, you lose the whole Nizirut over here. Right? Whereas Tosos on Soter means because of the way he interpreted the 100 days. What did he say about the 100 days? If you have 30 days left, then it's enough for you and your son to have a Nizirut. In that case, the last 30 days count for you and for your son. And therefore you will actually benefit. You will not have to have 130 days in Nizirut, you only have to have 100 days of Nizirut, because the 30 days for your son also count towards your Nizirut, and then you have one cutting at the end. Whereas, if you have less than 30 days left, since that's not sufficient for your son to have a full Nizirut, you must interrupt your Nizirut, count the 30 days for you, and then complete the kul. So you'll have in the end, you'll have 130 days.
Or 129 days, or 170,
like whatever. No, it'll be a full, because you counted either way.
How many days you count? You counted 70.
No, well, how many? You count 73, 75, call it 75. There's 25 left. You'll do 30 days plus 25. So you'll come out with 130. No matter what, you'll come out with 130. So that's again 130 days. But in both cases, he only does his cutting at the end and brings his karbanot at the end. I mean, it tells us consistent throughout the Mishnah that there's no interrupting with the tiglachas in the middle, because if you do that, it's like there's an interruption. You can't start the other Nizirut afterwards.
So if you're not doing tiglachas, why can't you just do 105, whatever it is, and then do both of them together? I mean,
that's what Tosafot says, that when you don't have 30 days left, and since it's not a full Nizirut,
you have a tiglachas, very clear. That's why you have to wait another 30 days.
Because Tosafot seems to be setting up, right, the following rule, that when can you count two Nizirios concurrently? When you started one legitimately, and then you have to start another one that
finishes within.
At least 30 days. But
it makes some sense.
But that you start that one because it had a...
It
legitimately, has to start at that point, even though you're in the middle of another one. So as long as you have the full term that can be subsumed within it, then you can count them concurrently. But if not, then you have to count those 30 days really separately, and then you resume your account.
Right. If it extends beyond your Nizirut, then you can't say it's Muvlat.
Right. It's not like you can count 28 of them concurrently, if you were on day 72. Either you can count them completely concurrently, stop your account.
I'm not going to do Rava tomorrow. We'll do this tomorrow because we could have done the question of Rava, but the answer of Rava continues into tomorrow. I was going to do the question. Just so you know, the Yerushalmi, Tosafot brings down Yerushalmi, it sounds a little bit like what you're saying, which is that you count up to 70,
and then
you have your son plus 30. It's always 130. But if you count at 75 or 80, and you have 20 days left, then the Mara says you must complete 30 afterwards. So the Soter is, you are Soter anything beyond 70. Mean that you count 70 days, then you have 30 days for your son, and then you got to make 30 days. No matter what, you need a full set of Nizirut afterwards, so you need 30 days for yourself. So it'll come out that you're doing 130 plus whatever days you did beyond 70. So it'll be 130 plus those extra days that you have to send me. Somewhat what you're asking, you see, why don't you just, in his case, you always equate the way of Shabbat, right? It's not clear from the, Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi just says, Nelab Yom Shomtim Soter Asara. It breaks. If he's born on the 80th day, he ruins 10 days. Sounds like he takes that's 30 days, and then that's 30 days. He has to go back and do a full 30 days for the Nizirut. I don't know if there's a Tiglachas. It's not clear from the Yerushalmi whether there is a Tiglachas in there or not. According to Tosafot,
the Yerushalmi seems to change. He lets you count it concurrently.
Not concurrently. He never lets you change your count. The Yerushalmi doesn't count concurrently ever. It always says that you have to have 30 days. You just need 30 days. You have to go, that you have to do it sequentially. You'll always have to count 30 days after your son's 30 days. Whether that 30 days is more than you need or not will depend on whether you've got him past 70 days or not. Right? Within 70 days, you won't be adding anything onto your mea, and you'll end up with 130. If you're past 70 already, then you actually will lose whatever you did beyond 70. And that's what sotera means. Sotera means anything beyond the 70 mark. Alright, so we'll stop here. I wanted to get through the Mishnah and did the Mishnah type off so you can understand what the problem is in this Mishnah. So this is consistent throughout the Mishnah that there is no tiglachas in the middle. There is no shaving, no cutting in the middle, right? And because there's no cutting in the middle, the only question in the Mishnah on Tedvav is, can you simultaneously have a count for your son and you? And that all depends on whether there's muvlach, whether there's enough left in your nizirut to encompass his nizirut and your nizirut. Then you can double count. If not, then you have to finish yours and then finish his and then complete your count afterwards. In both instances, you bring the tiglach at the end. In all the cases that are mentioned, the tiglach that happens at the end. The mefaresh differentiates between nizirut mu'etet and nizirut meruba. Nizirut mu'etet, he says, there is no tiglach in the middle because by definition you will always have less than 30 days. And therefore you stop in the middle, count say 15 days, 30, and then 15 days, and then you do the tiglach at the end. Whereas in nizirut meruba, where it's a big nizirut, then because you have the possibility of having 30 days afterwards, we say cut your hair for the 30 days. When you do your son's nizirut in the middle, you cut your hair for that, you take care of him, right? And then afterwards you're going to have to do a full 30 days or 70 days, depending on how much you had left in your nizirut. And if you had more than 30 days left, then you can use those 30 days at the end and make that into your tiglachas. If you have less than 30 days left, now you're soter, it sounds like soter takol, and you ruin the first 70, you have to recount the whole 100 again and start again. And then we had the last one, which was the moreh, right? The moreh who says you always have to cut your hair, right? No matter what, you always have to cut your hair in the middle, otherwise how do you define when the nizirut ends, right? And there, when he says you cut your hair, why in our case over here, when he cuts his hair, does he have to not go back? So he came up with a zukim for that, the 50-day nizirut. The nizirut when you had over here was a 50-day nizirut, and therefore you have, 30 days left afterwards. And then he has the 50-day case in our Mishnah here, and then the one at Tevav is a 100-day case. Why did they bring the 100-day case? Is to show you that you're soaked there. Right? When it's less than 70 or 70 or less, you're okay, and you can do the 30 days afterwards, but the 70 remains intact. If you have more than 70, then you lose the whole 70. Not that you just make up 30 days afterwards, but you lose the whole 70, and that's the Kiddush on Tevav. So those are three explanations of our Mishnah. Tomorrow we'll go into the Gemara. Yeah.